Sefer Toma Devoira, the Sefer Toma Devoira is of course a Sefer of Midas, a Sefer of Ethics. Baruch Hashem, so far we have not encountered any real problems where he gets into very esoteric subjects. And Bederach Klal, it's accepted when you learn Toma Devoira, when you come to the Kabbalistic aspects, is usually take glossed over, and you continue to learn those ideas, of course, that we can relate to. Here, starting Perek Sheni, where we're up to, Toma Devoira makes mention of something that we should just touch upon it. We're not going to dwell really deep into it. But as you can take a look at the smaller sheet that we have, which on the bottom of the sheet where it says this is a representation of the ten spheres, based on the original illustration in Pardes Remoinim by Reb Moshe Cordoviro, which of course is the Ramak, which is the Toma Devoira. The idea, the notion that there are what's called ten spheres, Erses Spheres, is rooted in the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah, by many, is a Sefer, of course, totally Kabbalistic, which by many is attributed to Avraham Avinu. The author is Avraham Avinu. There are others who attribute the Sefer Yetzirah to the town of Rabbi Akiva. Lomaisa, there is no conclusive, really, opinion, really either this way or that way, but one can clearly see that whether it's Avraham Avinu, whether it's Rabbi Akiva, is quite authoritative enough. And the idea that we have here, the esospheres, what they are, this is the formation that we have here, which starts really on top of the sheet. If you see, it's Keser Chochma Bino, these are the top three, Keser Chochma Bino, and then you have the lower seven. The lower seven, usually we say Chesed Givura Teferis. Here you have Gedula on the right side instead of Chesed. He calls it Gedula on the right side, Gevura on the left side. Right? And then you have Tiferes, which is in the middle, because Tiferes is a combination both of Gedula and Gevura, a combination of Chesed and Gevura. Then you have Netzach on the right side, and then you have Hoid, which is on the left side, then you have Yesoid, and then you have Malchus. As you can see that these Esospheres, according to the doctrine, first of all, Bechlal, of Reb Moshe Cordoviro, basically, the hashkofe, the fundamental hashkofe of the Ramak is, number one, he talks about in his Sefer Pardes Remoinim, not so much here, in the Sefer Toma Devoira, but in the Sefer Pardes Remoinim, he talks about, first of all, the oneness of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. The second idea that he talks about is that Hashem is the prime cause of whatever takes place, or which is used in the Lashonis of Rabbi Yonis Naipshis, is called the Sibur Rishonah. The Sibur Rishonah means Hashem is the prime cause. Also, Hashem is devoid of anything that is physical. That idea, of course, we also know, and also some of the others in the Animamins that we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, is the Yochid, Betachlis, Ho'achdus, Ein Aguf, Eloi Asigeu, Masigei Aguf, and so on. Moshe Kiviro talks about a lot that Hashem is above time and is above space. He talks that being that Meloi Kolorz Kevoidoi, the idea that we mentioned a number of times, which also is in the teachings of Arizal and so on, slightly different variations, that being that Hashem basically fills every space, every area in the world. So as it were, how is it possible that Hashem creates the world? Where does the world fit in, being that Hashem actually fills the world? So the Kabbalistic point of view, again, from the Arizal, as Reb Chaim Vital mentions, and as well as the Ramak, that Hashem actually was mitzamtzim. He withdrew, he contracted himself. I mean, Hashem. He contracted and he withdrew his infinite light, the Oir Ein Sof, the infinite light that emanates from Hashem, that fills all existence. Hashem withdrew it, as it were, to leave space, to make room for the universe. Now, being that Hashem is above and beyond anything physical, so when we talk about Hashem doing things, it's not the way that we perceive humans doing things, using an arm, using a leg, using a mind, and so on. But what we refer to as Hashem doing things is by observing the consequences, things that happen. So obviously it happened through Hashem, and the various kalim or tools that Hashem, as it were, as we perceive Hashem doing things, that's called the Esses Spheres. These are the 10 spheres, the 10 kalim, the 10 vehicles, the 10 emanations, which means of Hashem bringing light into the world, and through different forces, therefore bringing different achievements into this world. So Lamaisa, according to the Ramak, basically the Esses Spheres are agents of Hashem. These are agents of Hashem. Hashem himself does not possess what's called chesed. These are all human terms. When you talk about chesed, gevura, Hashem does not possess, as it were, gevura. Hashem, these are all things that relates to something that's physical. Hashem is above and beyond that. In our minds, to be able to relate, there's behavior that we perceive as chesed behavior. There's behavior that we perceive as gevura, which is stern, which is strict, and so on. So the Esses Spheres, these are the different patterns of behavior. These are the shluchim. These are the shluchim of Hashem, by which Hashem, A, he brought the world into being, says the Ramak, and also the Esses Spheres are the 10 emanations. These are the 10 agents by which Hashem guides and supervises the world. So this is the idea of the Esses Spheres, as you see the English translation. And these are the different agents to bring about different tachlis, different consequences into the world. As you see again on the sheet, the uppermost, the top is Keser, which is crown, and then it is flanked on the two sides. You have Chochmah on the right side, which is wisdom, and then you have Bino, which is on the left side. Keser, Chochmah, Bino. These are the uppermost three, which the top, which the highest is Keser, but nevertheless, these are the three highest, and then you have the lower seven. So you have the upper three and the lower seven. So when you have Keser, which is the crown, and you have Chochmah and Bino, which is understanding, you have to understand that the highest and the holiest is Keser. Of all the Esses Spheres, Keser is the top, the highest and the holiest is Keser, and it's the one that's nearest to Hashem. It is the one that's nearest to Hashem, and Keser, in fact, is really the manifestation of Hashem's will. When you talk about Ratzon Hashem, the word that is used to describe the Ratzon of Hashem, that's called Keser. Keser is the closest to Hashem, the idea which is closest to Hashem, and that basically describes, this is the manifestation of Hashem's will. It's called Keser. Why is it called Keser? Because in the same way that a crown is worn above the head, Keser refers to things that are above the human mind's ability to comprehend. We can't comprehend it. There's no way that we can understand it. Keser is above the head. So too, Keser is above the head, meaning it's beyond comprehension. It's beyond understanding. And therefore, when we talk about Ratzon Hashem, we don't really understand it. We see certain things, but we don't understand anything about it. This is the way it is. And each one according to our simple, feeble minds, that we believe. So one person understands it this way, somebody else thinks he understands it the other way, and so on and so forth. Interesting thing, just in Kabbalah, I just want to mention, these three spheres, these three agents, as it were, Keser, Chochmah, Bino, the uppermost three, they are called Moichin. In Kabbalah, they are referred to Moichin, which means the brain. These three are also called the spheres of the head. Because where does the brain lie? The brain lies in the Rosh, of course, in the head. So when you talk about Chochmah and Bino, so these three spheres, Keser, Chochmah, Bino, these are called the spheres of the Moichin, the agents of the Moichin, and they are called the spheres of the head, which represent intelligence. In human terms, and we discussed it more bariches when we had some of the shiurim of Tanya, where the Tanya refers to these things. Basically, Chochmah is described as a sphere of something that is intuitive or direct knowledge. Now, something that's more direct is Chochmah. Bino is something that refers to analysis, something that's not so direct. There's something that you have to delve into, you have to go deep into it, to bring out, to try to develop the idea, to try to work out what's happening. When you need analysis, with something which is not direct, that's called Bina. Chochmah is more direct knowledge, intuitive knowledge. Bina, as it were, is the sphere of intellectual analysis. Which means, really, where a person has intuition then develops into actual thought. You know, So you have something to start with. So Chochmah, as a matter of fact, develops further into Bina. You take what you have on the surface and you work with those materials until it develops into actual thought. Just one more nekuda, that these three, which is Kesher, Chochmah, Bina, which are the upper high, the three upper high, there's also called, the Tanya quotes it as well, this is called Imois, the mothers. They are called the mothers. Why? The reason we call the mothers, this is a fitting description, because these three spheres of intelligence, they give birth, as it were, to the seven lower spheres. Because without Chochmah, without Bina, you cannot really develop an attribute of Chesed, nor can you develop, which is comes on further, the attribute of Givura, whether it's Tiferes, any of the lower seven spheres that we have, the lower seven attributes, they cannot be developed without a foundation of Chochmah and Bina. And therefore the first three are called Imois. These are the mothers, because by having these attributes, it's with these three attributes that give birth to the lower seven. So be as it may, as we are pointing out over here, so we see from here that we have here Keser, which is the highest. Keser is the highest, and that is the holiest. That is the highest, and that is the holiest. And it is the one that is nearest to Hashem, as it were. So let us now take a look here at the Torah Devarim, Perek Beis. And again, we'll just see, because he talks about just Keser. Again, we will not delve deeply into Keser. We just gave you a description. That is the highest, most holiest attribute. Right, and this really, again, refers to the actual Ratzon of Hashem, and it's a Keser, it's something that we, Bechlal, cannot even comprehend. So we go to Perek Beis. and we see as he starts, and the Torah Devarim says, that oid liyos ha'odom doime lekoinoi. In addition to what we have learned in the first perik, because you might remember the first perik, which of course he discusses the yud gimel midos shel rachmim, the way that the Torah Devarim started out right in the beginning, mamish the first few words in perik rishon, the Torah Devarim started out by saying ha'odom royu she yidame lekoinoi, that it is proper for a person to emulate his creator. So you see that the tachlis and the teachings of Perek Rishon were that a person has to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does a person emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By following in the 13 midos, the 13 attributes of Hashem, and we try to emulate Hashem in these attributes. In addition to the 13, comes the Talmud Dvar, now in Perek Sheni, he says, more that is necessary of how a person is capable and should emulate Hashem. So therefore he says, oid, which means, in addition to what we learned above, liyos odom doyma lekoinoi, beside midas hakeser, a person should try to emulate Hashem in his mystical attribute of keser, which means, tzarech sheyir boy kame gufe pe'ulois, a person therefore has to exhibit certain fundamental traits. Now keser is something, as we said, which is beyond our comprehension, but the closest that we can somehow come to the idea of what Keser is, which is really the highest level, right, of all of the midos and the holiest to Hashem, says the Talmud Devar, a person should try to emulate Hashem, as it were, as much as is possible from the vantage point of human being, to compare himself beside midos HaKeser, which we said again, that's the highest of all the 10 spheres. And as a result, a person has to exhibit certain fundamental traits, which those traits will be the hanhoge, where a person thereby emulates Hashem. Sheheim ikar hanhoge, which are the main conduct, right, in order to have this attribute. And therefore he says, Harishoino, what is really the first midah that a person is to do, which would be connected to the midah of Keser, as we said, which is the primary, which is the uppermost high. And if anything, this is the closest to Hashem. So the first midah, which really he says, HaKoileles HaKoil, the one midah, if you have to point to a single midah, which is the all-encompassing trait, the all-encompassing midah of all the midahs, if you have to point to a midah which is the all-encompassing, so he says, He midahs hu anovo. This is the midah of humility. Why? Why is the midah of humility the all-encompassing trait? There are so many other midahs toivos. Because you know why? Mipnei shehi tluya bekeser. Because it is rooted in the sphere of keser. Midas hanova is rooted in the mid of keser. Which means to say, very interesting, means to say, that somehow, when we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of course we have no way of even understanding, even in our greatest fantasies, really what Hashem is all about, but if you think about the midas of Hashem, anova, anova really is something that is, if you want, is able to say it, sort of like the mainstay of really of Godless Hashem, which Hashem Himself possesses to no end, in an infinite way, the midah of anova. So therefore, keser is the highest midah, keser is the highest midah, the highest sphere, and so in the same way also, anova is the highest midah. Of all of the midos, anova is the highest midah, in the same way that keser is the highest of all of the 10 spheres, all of the 10 agents of Hashem, which basically are different modes of behavior emanating from Hashem. Keser is the highest, so anova is also the highest. Anova really is rooted in the sphere of keser, and Hashem, by using the sphere of keser, interesting, Charehi midal kol amidos, this attribute of keser, this agent of keser that Hashem uses to function in this world, being that it's, in spite of the fact that it's the highest of all the midos, the discipline of this particular midah is that the einon misalis umisgoyes lamalo. It is a midah that does not hold itself in high esteem, as it were, and does not exalt itself. Omnom, on the contrary, yoyredes umistakeles lemato todir. The midah of keser, basically, it descends and gazes downward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this midah called keser to function down here. And that midah, even though it is so up high, but this does not look back higher from where it came, but basically it looks down. The function of keser is to give and to be mashpia, to bring benefit to the world down here. It comes from such high, and yet it doesn't look back to see its shayrish of highness, but rather it gazes to the lowly world. This midah of keser. So you see that the midah of keser, which on the one hand is the highest and closest to Hashem, Bechlal doesn't look back to see how high it's from, but rather its function and the way it works is to be mistakel. It descends and gazes downward. V'zeh mishnei tamin. And this is, he says, for two reasons. There are two reasons for this. Number one, ho'echod, shuhu boish lihistakel bisibosoy. This midah of keser that Hashem created, this agent, as it were, which represents, of course, this is the behavior of Hashem, but this agent that Hashem created is poshut embarrassed lihistakel bisibosoy. He's ashamed to gaze at Hashem, as it were, who is the cause of its existence. This midah of keser, of course, is an agent of Hashem. And this midah of keser, being so close to Hashem, recognizes, of course, the godliness of Hashem, and therefore is simply just embarrassed by its nothingness in comparison, of course, to what Hashem actually is. Ela ma'atziloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses it. Ma'atziloi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses it. Mabit boi tomit lehativoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically uses in order that the mid of keser should bring down good, v'hu mabit b'tachtoinim, and therefore it gazes continuously down to those that are below. So b'kitzer, the mid of keser is, again, which is of course all the midos, but even the mid of keser, which is the highest, is to bring benefit to the world down here. That's its purpose. And it's not look back where it came from, which is a totally different world altogether. The highest of high. Keser doesn't look back to where it came from. Its portrait is embarrassed because of the godless of Hashem and so on. That's one of the reasons. But Lamaisa, therefore, its function, and its function is to bring benefit and to be mashpia as a shliach and as an agent of Hashem. This is sort of like a vehicle through which Hashem brings down all of the infinite light into the world and all the things that Hashem wants to bring in. So kacho odom. So in the same sense, man also tzorach sheyevoy shemilistakel etzad malo lehizgoyis. Man should also not look upward in gaive. Gaive means, of course, a man thinks of himself to be uppermost high. I am higher. I am above. I belong there, not down here. Man should also, in the same way as the mid of keser, because the man has to emulate Hashem, the same way as the mid of keser gazes downward, so to a man also should be embarrassed from looking upward. Because if he looks upward, in a certain sense, he is now comparing himself to Hashem, and of course, he becomes bottle, like dust. So he should be even embarrassed to try to look upward. He shouldn't want to. El etodeh yistakel tzadmata. But rather, he should continuously, always look towards the bottom. Lahafchis atzmoy kol ma sheyochol. He should minimize his self-worth as much as is possible. In other words, we have to conduct ourselves, again, v'holachta bedrochov, to emulate Hashem. The same way that even the highest of all the Esser spheres, Keser. Keser doesn't look back to the high. Keser gazes downward. And its function is to be mashpia, to bring benefit to the world down here. He serves the world down here, the mid of Keser. So the same way, says the Tomer Devora, man should also not arrogantly look skyward. Man should not look skyward, but with a sense of inner shame, should always keep your eyes downcast, he says, as you see further. He says, Vaharei. He says, Hamida Hazois, Hitluya Derech Klal, he says, Berosh. Right, this is a midah. This is a midah that a person holds it in his head. That's what it is, it's the attitude. She'ein ha'odom mizgoha, because you realize also in the way a person conducts himself, a person is a balgaiva, has his head up high. We even say it, he has his, says his nose is high. His head is high. Geipen den Kopf in der Haich. That's what they say in Yiddish. Right? The Kopf in der Haich. So it's all in the head. The head is what describes where a person is at. If his head is low, if he bows his head, if he bends his head, that's a symbol of humility. So she'ein odom is goy ela barom es haroish klapim alo. Because the person holds himself really gaivadik, aloof, when he raises his head upwards, v'ho onov mashpil roish elamato. On the other hand, a person who is an onov, who is humble, in fact, he lowers his head. So Lamaisa, so the Talmud Devar tells us that we see, this is an everyday life. We can tell through human nature where a person's, how a person conducts himself. Is it with gaiva? Is it with another? Because there are klal, when a person has a trait of humility, this actually becomes manifest in the way a person holds his head. When a person holds his head high, that's a mark of an arrogant person. On the other hand, a poor person always lowers his head. And of course, there's no one that's more humble and forbearing than Hashem, as he's going to point out now. There's no one more humble and forbearing than Hashem. In his divine attribute of Keser, using that attribute of Keser, we show the Anivis in the attribute of Keser, which on the one hand is the highest of all the ten, of the ten spheres, and yet it gazes downward. Right? And as he's going to point out, what Hashem's, how does it translate Lamaisa when Hashem uses the mid of Keser? So it says the term of the Oid. I want to tell Vaharei. Vaharei is like Vaoid. He says, secondly, I want you to know, when we want to emulate Hashem, and I pointed out to the Inyan of humility, and he said that Anova actually is the all-encompassing midah, because Anova, he says, also, he says, is rooted in Keser. Same way that Keser only gazes downward, doesn't look sky high, skyward. So the same way, that's the idea of man is also supposed to conduct himself the same way. But then he says further, you realize, he says, that Ein Savalon Va'onov Kelekenu. The fact is, there is no one who is ever so tolerant and humble as a Kodesh Baruch Hu b'midas HaKeser by using the midah of Keser. Shehi tachlis horachamim. In other words, he's telling us that the divine attribute of Keser is the essence of compassion. So the essence of compassion really comes from the midah of Keser. And as a result, the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not allow any type of avera sometimes, le'ikonis l'fon of shum pegam. Kodesh Baruch Hu will not allow no flaw, v'loy avoin, or any avera, v'loy din, or any strict judgment, v'loy shumida moinas, milahashgiach l'ashpia todir, to prevent Hashem from watching over man and bestowing all the good things continuously. Every moment that a man is alive, whether he deserves it or not, Hashem keeps continuously is being mashpia. He gives him life. He gives him that what he needs to survive. He gives them everything that allows a person to be alive in this world. This is continuous. Kach tzorech ha'odom, the same way, again, man has to emulate Hashem. So a man also should follow in the same way. Sheshum sibi shebo'ilam lo timno'eyu melehetiv. Man should not allow anything in the world to prevent him from benefiting others. Man's tafkid in this world is to be mashpia toiva, to do good in this world. And we should not allow anything to get in his way. Should not be any mitigating factor that would stand in the way to block man from actually being mashpia toiv in the world. Because in the same way that Hashem is continuously being mashpia toiv in the world, in spite of all the different actions that man do which are against the rotzen of Hashem, and Hashem yet continuously gives life and so on, as we have already mentioned many times. So it's continuously being mashpia toiv. Hashem is the epitome of anivus and of savlonus, as the Talmud Devar already pointed out in the first mid of Mikael Komoicho. So the same way he says, Vishum Odom Oimasa Bnei Odom Bilti Hogun, he says, no matter what transgression or misdeed of any person unworthy, will explain that. Tobidroisen be saying, no matter what a person does, should not be a preventive factor from you being mative them. That may need the benefit, they may need your toiva every time and every moment. And in the same way that Hashem, as we see, among, of course, Hashem's bestowing favors, we see the fact of sustenance. The Rabbi Shalom is mashpia mezoinus continuously. Hashem sustains all the creatures, starting from the horns of the Re'emim. The Re'emim are the largest of all creatures, and Beit Zekinim are the eggs of the lice, which are the smallest of creatures. So it doesn't make a difference. Hashem has Hashgoche on everything in the Bria continuously, and the Einoim Mevaze Shum Beria. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not shame, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not embarrass, does not look down, no matter how lowly any creation. Some creations appear to be very, very lowly, like nothing. There's no barrier low enough that would be the recipient that Hashem would be mevazit. Nothing would justify it. Hashem does not allow anything to be mevuzit. Because she'ilu yevaza habruim, because Baruch Hu would, in effect, because Baruch Hu would look down, or he would embarrass or despise any of his creations, mipnei pechisusom, because of their lowliness or insignificance, lo yiskayim afil rega, that they couldn't exist even for a moment. The fact that they existed because Hashem is interested that to give them life. So Hashem, therefore, is not mevazen, does not despise any shum birya. So in the same way that kach tzorich, again, v'alachta bedrochav, you have to emulate Hashem, kach tzorich shi'ahod ha-metiv la'koil, that a person should be metiv la'koil, should benefit all, v'lo yizbazeh shum nivra lefonov, and no creation should be despised by him, afile birya kalish shebekalois, and even the lowliest of beings, t'yema'oid chashuv ha-beinov, should be very important in his eyes, v'yitein dato yoleo, and he should be so concerned for them, v'yetiv l'chol ha-mitztarech el toivosoi, and he should benefit all those who need toiva, who need and await his toiva. V'zu mida, again, tluya b'keser, again, this attribute is basically, it's rooted in the mystical attribute of what's called keser, b'soid ha-roish derech klal, which is the uppermost high, as we pointed out before, because Keser is the uppermost high of all of the esospheres. So as we see here, that the Talmud Devarim points out now that the all-encompassing midah of emulating Hashem, he says, the midah of Anova, ein savlon, as he says, there's no one who is a more savlon, the onov kelokenu. And the emphasis, we see how important this midah of Anova is. You might remember that Rashi ala Torah in Parshas Bereishis, in Aleph Chavov, on the posik Nasa Odom, because Rogel says, Nasa Odom, we will make man. Loshin Rabim, we will make man. So Raji says there that Afal Pi Shaloi Siya Uhu Bi Yitziroson, even though none of the angels, none of the Malachim, no one really assisted Hashem in creating man, because Rogel himself created man. So why does it say Nasa Odom? After all, the Yeshmokoim Leminim, he says, Litois, there's room for the Apikarsim, really, right, the flaw, to err, because they're going to think, they're going to say, Nas Odom, plural, they're going to think that there's Shtei Rishuyos, to think that Chazal Shalom, that there were two, more than one that created man. Nevertheless, even though they're, by using Lashon Rabbim, it may allow Apikursim, right, to lead them astray, Lo Nimna HaKosuf, the Torah did not prevent itself, hold back, Milalame Derech Eretz, Umidis Hanova. The reason says Nasa Odom, to teach us Midas Hanova, that Hashem, the great HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great Rabbeinu Shloilom, did not act on his own, as it were, meaning that he took counsel. He had a meeting, as it were, with the Malachim, as the Medrash tells us, the various pros and cons, whether it's worthy, what's kedai to create man, what it's not kedai to create man, and so on and so forth. So we learn out from Hashem, Derech Eretz Midas Hanova Shehi Agodol Nimlach V'Noitl Rishus Menakotin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes Nasa Odom, plural, Nasa Odom meaning, to teach us that what? Not that they helped him make it. But Nasa Odom means Hashem, as it were, took counsel. He took counsel, did not act on his own. And from here we learn out that a Godel in his own life should also learn from Hashem, not to be embarrassed, and not always to act on his own, but also to hear what other people have to say as well. So this is clearly to teach us Midas Hanover. So the Torah wrote a Loshen Nasa Odom plural, which is a very dangerous Loshen, which is a Loshen that gives Mokim and gives a pretext for Minim and Apikursim, right? To follow a false philosophy that there's more than one creator. Because Baruch Hu nevertheless wrote this type of a dangerous Loshen to teach Midas Hanover. So Baruch Hu Vasserman once said, he said, it's an amazing thing if you realize what Rashi is telling us here. You realize that if a person goes into business and he invests a certain amount of money, depending upon what the risk is, he's not going to invest that kind of money. A person, let's say, by a long shot, he knows hardly expects to win a lottery, but you can be mavater on a dollar. So he's mafker a dollar, $5, but he's not going to invest $500,000 because he might win $20 million. It's not kedai. The risk is too great. Gewöhnlich ist also, that a person though would be willing to risk a lot of money if the profits that one is able to make is moiridik. In other words, the greater the chance of a profit, a person is more willing to risk money. The lesser of the chance of a profit, the less money you are going to risk. So he said like this. Writing Nase Odom is a tremendous risk. Because when you write the words Nase Odom, the risk is that people are going to think that they are Shtei Rishuyis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, made a cheshbon, it's kedai to risk because the profit, what's the profit on the other side? That people are going to learn Midas Hanova. So you can imagine how great the Midas Hanova is, that it's kedai, this great risk. A person would not do and go a great risk unless there is much, much to gain. Now, because Baruch Hu went to the head to allow such a gmoyerdig risk that people, by looking and reading Nasoda, to come to the false conclusion, one can imagine how much profit there has to be on the other side to make. You're only going to risk a lot if the potential to be marviach is also 10 times as much, 20 times as much. Because Baruch Hu risked this amazing risk of Nasoda, which is the yisoid of apikursis, a person, if he goes astray, because Baruch Hu felt it was kedai to risk the Loshen HaSodom in order to get the prophet, the teaching about the Midah Vanova. Here it gives us a little idea of what the Midah Vanova is. And in fact, the Gemara Taka tells us in Megillah, Om Rabbi Yochanan, that kol mokoyim sh'ata moitze givu rosoi shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or givu losoi shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata moitze in v'sonosoi. In the same way that we find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is godless, but we always find the anivis of Hashem and so on and so forth. And just to quote you the Loshen of the Reishis Chochma. The Reishis Chochma was a Talmud of the Ramak of Rav Moshe Cordoviro, the Baal Toimer Devoyer. And he writes there in Shaar HaNova. And he writes a lot. He writes a lot in the Perek Aleph where he's Maruch in Midas HaNova of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He writes, V'hine inyan hachnoa v'ho HaNova nimtze beboire yizbarach she'im hayo yisoy rom al kol romim. Even though that he's higher and above all of the highest, the go'oy al kol geim. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the highest and he's the mightiest over all of the mightiest. As it says in Tehillim, Hashem Moloch Geis Lovesh. But at the same time, we see that Dovra Melech calls Hashem Anonov. It says in Tehillim, Perek Yud Ches, Dovra Melech says to Hashem, Van Voscho Sarbeini, your Anivis made me great. Because Hashem Kibiochel is humble towards Dovra Melech in a sense. So Van Voscho Sarbeini. So here, Mitzad, the same Dovra Melech that says Hashem Moloch Geis Lovesh, because Baruch Hu is the highest and so on and so forth. But at the same time, we find also the same attribute of the Midah of Anivis, not too far away. So this is what we see again, and this is the teaching that we learn out. As he says, this is the Oid, this is in Perek Sheni, another very, very important Midah of how a person is supposed to behave to emulate Hashem. And this is regarding the Midah of Anova. Just one Nukud I want to mention. He says that as a result, the same way that Hashem is never mevaze, Hashem doesn't despise any nivra, no matter how low he is. So the term of the Torah also pointed out that therefore a person should be meitiv lakoil, even if it's a person in the Odom Sheino Hogun. In other words, a person cannot do anything bad enough that you should not be meitiv him. So it's a pel of a hafla l'chayre. What does that mean? Bishloim, if a person takis choytel teyovim because of a yetzer hara, because of a taiva. No, so you have to have rachman attack on this person. And maybe not be moineya from being mate of him if he needs their toivah. But however, If a person lemaise, if he's outright an apikoyris to command a mumer lahaches ukedoyme, because the beferish halacha in Yeridayasim and Kufnon Ches, halacha says apikorsim or davoydizora or shara veris lahaches, hoyahar genoisim befreshia, they would destroy them, would destroy them. So clearly, if people, right, are really doing what's really, really bad, not only we're not made to them, it says hargenoisam, hargenoisam befresia. So it must mean what the Talmud Devar is saying, to be made to them means, when you, if you're dealing with such kind of people, that even when there is a chiev, let's say, that you have to destroy, or you have to, laharegoisam, but you have to have compassion that it has to be done. There's two ways of destroying or executing. You're executing, you know, oh, I'm getting rid of this Russia, you know, you have this big simcha. When you do even an act of harige, it should be done because this is exerts a cause of, this is the way it has to do. But believe one has to have rachmonis, believe one should hope that this person should have a kapora. And as he points out, that with their klal, we should be mispalal for a showing, that they should do tshuva. So our attitude al kaponim, as far as we can do, at least believe, should have an attitude of rachmonis and an attitude of compassion, in spite of the fact that we have to deal with them b'maisa in a certain particular way. But that doesn't preclude that in our hearts that we should have the feeling of compassion and be mispalad, they should do tshuva, in fact, they should turn around, and so on and so forth. And l'maisa, even when you do midas adin is a toive for those that need the midas adin, as we already went through it. Yisurim is not just l'shem onshim. Yisurim is a purpose of purification, it's a purpose of kashering. You might remember what the Gemara tells us, Takim Brochis. Ne'mar bris b'melech, it says bris melech, akor kabon cho takriv melech, v'saj bis bris, right? As it says when it's referring to melech. And then we find takiv aloshim, bris takiv by yisurim. And the Gemara says we have Xerishova, Ma Melach Mamtekis as Abosa, in the same way that Melach sweetens the meat. Right? Av Yesurim Amarkin Avanois of Shalodom. So the point is that Yesurim, in the same way that Melach brings out the goodness, it brings out the juice. When you salt meat, it brings out, right, the flavor. In a certain sense, Yesurim also, it's Mamtekis, it's Memarg de Avanois, so it brings out the flavor, the essence, that every person has really a flavor, but it has been covered over, and has been sullied, has been dirtied. And through the manifestation of Yisurim, it brings out the flavor, the essence, the emezigit flavor, and the emezigit toiv that a person has. So really, the midas hadin is like the salt that brings out, is mamtik the bosor, so too, this is mamtik the person and brings out the true essence and the emezigit koyach hatoiv that's found in every yid. We should take a look, Rabbi said the sheet here. We'll take a look here on two nekudas. First, let's take a look a little bit. We have the Ramchal and Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Yutes. The first idea that, again, that we learn now in the Talmud Devar, that in the same way the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Meitiv Lakoil, the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not hold back Toive, no matter how low the Bria is, no matter how lowly the creature is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not Menea Toive. So too, we should contribute and to be Meitiv to whomever possible. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, this is in the middle of the perik. This is, by the way, the Shara Chassidus. Shara Chassidus is one of the highest madregas. And what is necessary for a person to have in order to be zoiche to the Shara Chassidus? So here he says, among other things, Hachelik Hasheni Shebarishin. He says, the second part of the first category that he mentions above, Hubemashe Benodom Lachaveroi, Vinyonoi Goidl Hahatova. Mamishu the Talmud Devar is talking about the chiyuv of being meitiv. Goyla ha'atove shiyo ha'odom le'oilom meitiv le'briyas. Mamish echoing the same words as the remark. A person should always be meitiv le'briyas v'loy meir alohem. And this is in three ways. V'zeh beguf, with your body you can do toiva, and you should do toiva. B'momoin u'benefesh. And he explains. Beguf. Sheyia, that a person should be mishtadl la'azoy l'chol odom b'ma sheyuchal. That a person should be mishtadl to do toive. A person should be mishtadl to do toive b'ma sheyuchal in any way possible. Ve'yokel masom maleim, and to help lessen their burden. You see, a yid has a burden. Try to help him out. V'humash shoninu v'noise boilem chaveroi. The Mishnovis, help someone relieve his problems. Listen to him. Help him out. Give him an etzer. Become a shutev in his matziv. V'magia l'chaveri eze nezik begufoi. And if you see that someone is on the verge of being damaged, and you have the ability to prevent the damage from happening. So take your body. This means using, doing toiva with your body, meaning going out of your way, being matriach yourself, to prevent either nezek, preventing damage, or to remove damage from someone. That's begufoi, which means physical tercha, yeah. Use your body, use your feet, use your hands to try to help someone physically. Then b'momoi. The second oifim of being made to someone is with money. Lisayoi kashatasig yodoi, according to how much you could afford. We're not asking you to go bankrupt here. But according to how much you can afford, help him out. And to prevent damage falling on that person as much as you can do it. And certainly if you can prevent it, here we're talking about delivering a person from Nizikin. But certainly, and certainly Nachmeri says, any type of damage that you might cause, he says, you shouldn't be the cause. But even if someone else is the cause, or something else is the cause, try to help him, if possible, with money. But let's say you recognize that now at the moment the hezek is not here. But you realize if the matzav remains the way it is, it's going to lead to damage. Yesirem, if you have the ability to remove it, v'yavirem, this is what you have to do. V'omru chazal, yimomen chavercho chovev olecho kishaloch. So in the same way, you don't want your property to be damaged. If you can help it, don't allow someone else's property to be damaged as well. Think of somebody else's property as if it were your own property. That's how you should treat somebody else's. And then benefish. Benefish is talking about not just simply spiritually, mentally. Meaning, try, if possible, to bring some pleasure in someone's life. A koiras ruach, a tefridenkeit, a happiness. By giving him honor. Anything that you know, anything that you know that if you'll do it, that person partially will have a nachas, will have a pleasure out of it. Mitzvahs chasidis hula soisoi. Koshken shlo yitzarenu bishum minitzar. Because of that saying, you shouldn't be mitzar him. But we say just the opposite. Bring pleasure into that person's life. Yeh bezoi mishia. Doesn't matter how. Any way possible. If you can bring a little bit of pleasure, uklal kol zeh, all of these, whether it's momoin, whether it is benefesh, as we said, whether it's begufoi, all this are different ways of doing gemilas chasodim. Ashifligu chazal b'shivcha, that chazal went out of their way to extol the greatness of gemilas chasodim. Ubechoy v'yseinu ba, and our chiyuv, an obligation to do it. And then he goes further. V'amroid, v'nosel l'cho rachmim v'richamcho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachamim. Chazal say, kol ha-merachim al ha-briyos, merachim olav min ha-shamayim. Anyone who has rachmonis on other people, min ha-shamayim, they will have rachmonis as well. Morin Shabbos. V'zeh poshet, says Ramchal, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu moedit mida k'negi mida, something we spoke about many, many times. U'mi shemerachim v'yseh chesedim ha-briyos, gam hu bedinoi yirachamuhu v'yimchulu loy avinoisa b'chesed. Someone who has rachmonis and does chesed with other people, when he is called up to give din v'cheshbin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with him the same way, with chesed and with rachmim. Shrei mechilu zu dinhu. So you can ask me, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu bend the law? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that if you don't deserve it? The Teretz says, mida keneged mida is also a law. There's a law of mida keneged mida. That's a halacha. That's also a din. And there's a din of mida keneged mida, so now the din is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with you the same way deal with others. Even though maybe you wouldn't deserve it otherwise. But that itself is the din. And this is what Chazal said in Rosh Hashanah. Lemi noisei avoyim, to whom does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove the averis? Lemi she'ovra al pesha. Someone who removes his own averis means averis that others have dealt towards him. That's called mavir al medoisav. When other people did him an avla and he's able to overlook the avla. And he's not going to fight back. We had it many, many times. A person does not want to overstep that which is due. In other words, he wants to be oymed al hadin and he wants to fight back. Because Baruch says, okay, an eye for an eye. The same way that you deal, we're going to deal with you as well. Says Ramchal, I want you to understand. Re'e ato. Mi hu ze ve eze hu sheyuchoy lamoid ma kodesh baruch hu oisei meshuras hadin. Tell me, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go with you al pidin, who's going to be able to come out ahead? There's no person really who can come out ahead if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be makpid al hadin. That means that we have to find ways that we should deserve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should deal with us lifnei meshuras hadin. V'dovid HaMelech mispalel. Even David HaMelech is mispalel and he says, V'al tovoy b'mishpot es avdecho. Even David HaMelech feels that with mishpot, he can't come out ahead. He can't win. Ki lo yitzdak lefanecho kol choy. Omno amho is a chesed, yekabel chesed. According to that measure, Masha yarbe lasois, kach yarbe lekabel. V'dovid HaMelech hoi mishalel b'midosoi zois atoi v'dovid HaMelech was proud. David HaMelech prided himself that he had this midah of Maver al Medoisov to do toiva to everyone, even to his enemies. Shafil l'soinov hoye mishtad lehetiv. This is an amazing, amazing midah. That a person is able to do toiva even to one's enemies. Zeo ma shomar. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Lamed hey. Va'ani b'chaloisom. Listen what he says. Va'ani and I, David HaMelech, b'chaloisom when they were sick. Who? The enemy. What did David HaMelech do when the enemy was sick? What did he say? Baruch Hashem, thank God. No, that's not what he said. He says, what I did was, I was mispalel and I fasted. I put on sackcloth. It's amazing, amazing to behold, to the extent that David HaMelech says, how he was mispalel on behalf of them. And he said, included in all of that is, sholitzar l'shum beria. Not to cause sar to any creature, afilu balachayim, even non-humans, even stam balachayim. Ulerachem velochus aleihem. V'chein uoymer yodeya tzadik nefesh behemtoy. Ukvar yesh sovrim, and we know there are opinions that say even sar balachayim is a deraisa. V'akupon drabonon. Kloloi shel dovar. The bottom line, he says, harachmonos v'hahatovo and du toivo tzorach shetia tekuah b'leiv. It's something that has to be stuck in your heart, connected to your heart. Belev a chosid loyelum, someone who wants the title of chosid. V'tiyem agamosei tomet. And his drive should always be, his wish should always be, lasis koiras ruach lebrius. That should be his hopes. That should be his aspirations, to find ways and means to be able to bring nachas, to be able to bring pleasure to people, v'loy ligraim lohem shum tzar, and so on and so forth. So that's one nekudah. The idea of being meitiv. And as he pointed out, the idea of being matic to each and every person. But the Talmud Dvar added one nekudah. That in order to be able to do that, to be matic each and every person, no matter how low the person is, you have to have the attribute, the mid of anova yourself. If you have the mid of anova, then you're not looking upon yourself in terms of passing judgment over someone else. If you think that you're better, if you think that you're more deserving, then you have a tendency to pass judgment and stand in judgment of others. But if you are not to stand in judgment of others, if you are to look at others with a different eye, more of a positive eye, then you yourself have to have the midah of anova. That's what the Talmud Dvar pointed out. And he said that's the all-encompassing midah. So let's take a look a little bit of these words in the Orach HaTzadikim. Orach HaTzadikim, of course, is one of the very, very famous Musa Sfarim, a mechaber that lived quite a number of years ago. Matter of fact, a few hundred years ago, and it's not clear to this day exactly the identity of who the Mechaber is. What we know is that he was an Ish Kodosh and Oved Hashem. It's a Sefer that was accepted B'chol Tfutzos Yisrael. It's a very, very strong Musa Sefer of Midos. And another specific Maila of Orach HaTzadikim is that the Loshon that he says, it's not faplontet, it's not confusing, something that's very, very easy, and it's something to Dovar Shov L'chol Nefesh, anybody can relate to it and understand what he's trying to tell you. So here's just a chelik, a small chelik that he has in Shar HaNova. Huanova, he says, he mida toiva. Vehi hepecha gavo. It's the opposite of gaiva. Umi shi yeshboi hamida hazois. Anyone who has the mida of anova, humility, kvar heishiv nafshoi mikama minarois. He already saved himself from a lot of evil. If you have anova, just merely having anova, says Orach HaTzadikim, you have saved yourself from a lot of evil. Umi shi higia elmala zois hanechbedes. And someone who is zeiche to reach this bekovede gemayla, oise mitzvah. So now, when you do a mitzvah from now on, when you do a mitzvah, Umekabel socher lefi goydel in vesunosoi. Know what he's saying? What he says is a fascinating thing. It's an incredible thing. He says when a person does a mitzvah, two people put on tefillin. He says the schar of the mitzvah of tefillin, for example, or any mitzvah, is going to be measured according to how much anova you have. A person putting on tefillin and he's a great anov, his schar is greater. A person putting on tefillin and he's lesser of an anov, his schar is less. It's an amazing thing. As he says that the schar of a mitzvah, he says, goes lefi goydel in v'sunosoi. According to the level of his anivis, that will determine the schar of his mitzvah. So the midah of anivis goes hand in hand in all your mitzvahs. Why? Ki hu anova shayrish avoida. Anova is the shayrish avoida. And the pshat is like this, Rabbi Yisai. Why is anova shayrish avoida? It's pointed out in a sefer called Ala Yoyrach. He says, posh it, gans posh it, he says. He says, anova is the shayrish avoida, because what is anova? Anova means his batlis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what anova means. Humility means his batlis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more that a person is mevatl himself to Hashem, the more of an Ovid Hashem he is. Ovid means Lashon Evid. What does Evid mean? That you become batl to your master. So the more his batlis you have to Hashem, the greater Evid Hashem you are. What are mitzvahs, by the way? Rabbi Yisai, any mitzvah that you do, what is a mitzvah? A mitzvah means this is the way that you are Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvahs are the ways that we are Ovid Hashem. So what determines if we are greater Ovidim or lesser Ovidim? The more his batlas that we have to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is the gauge, that is the gauge of how we are either greater Ovidim or lesser Ovidim. His batlas defines us as Ovid Hashem. His batlas defines us as being an Ovid Hashem. So when we do a mitzvah, which doing a mitzvah means that we are being Ovdei Hashem, the more his batlas that we have to Hashem when we do a mitzvah, we are greater Ovdei Hashem. So that's Poshet, that's the reason why the schar of the mitzvah is measured through the midah of anova. Because anova is his batlas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem means to be, make yourself batl to Hashem. By doing a mitzvah, you are demonstrating that is the act of Avodas Hashem. The more his batlas in that act, the more his batlas in that act, the more Avodas Hashem there is. And therefore the anova, which is the inyan of his batlas, that gauges the level and the darga of how much Avodas Hashem lies in your act. You can do an act and it's not Avodas Hashem. You just did a maisa, mechanical maisa. In order for a maisa, mitzvah, to be defined as an act of Avodas Hashem, is how much his batlas do you have to a Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're doing. Are you really serving Hashem when you're doing this mitzvah? Are you being misbattled yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The more anova you have, the more his battles you have to Hashem. As a result, you are greater Ovid Hashem. You're greater Ovid Hashem, so you have more schar. So that's what he's saying. Umaisa kotlin, that's what he says. Umaisa kotlin shol anova miskabel ivna Hashem Baruch Hu. A small. He says, small maisa of anova is accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elef yodois. 1,000 times yoisa b'maisa godl shol gaiv ha-gaiv. Hear that? A Baal Gaiva, he says, that does a mitzvah. But with Gaiva, even if it's a tremendous, tremendous great mitzvah that he did, and someone else comes along and did it something very, very small, but he did it with anova, that little maise, with anova, accompanied with anova, outweighs 1,000 times, he says, a maise godel that is connected with Gaiva. V'cheinomer Rabbi Seinu, Chazal have told us, it's not the greatness of the act, it's how it's done. Echad hamarbe v'echad hamamit. By the way, this is Parshas Shkolim coming up, right? Because it's not Rabbi Yisai how much you give, it's how you give. This is an abomination. Hashem despises gaive. Shenema toyavas Hashem kol gvaleif. This is a toyeva. Look further. A person who's a Baal Gaiva, he says, Tzoyek, he cries out sometimes to Hashem, he needs help. He cries out to Hashem, Veino Nane. And Hashem doesn't answer him. Sometimes a person wonders, how come Hashem doesn't answer my tefillah? So he stops believing in tefillah. Maybe you're the fault, it's not the problem with the tefillah. It's not the problem with Hashem. The problem is you. Who's the delivery person? Who's the postman? Who's delivering the package? What's the posik? Shenema gam gisarbut filo einani shomea. Shaya novi. Voice mitzvahs. The Balgava does mitzvahs. V'torf v'moise mepanov. And there's mitzvahs sort of like snatched away. That the mitzvahs don't arrive. Like someone sends off a package and it never arrives. You try to trace it. Can see mitzvahs and some other mitzvahs don't arrive. Shenemar the pasuk says, "Mibikei zois miyedchem ramois chatzeres yishayinavi." Who asked you? Who needed you? I don't need your mitzvahs. Tima toivet mitzvahs. Mitzvahs have to be done in a way that brings out a kiddush Hashem in the way that you're serving a kodesh baruch in the appropriate way. Abitatin a mitzvah. This kind of a way. I don't need those kind of mitzvahs, says Hashem. And he goes further. He says, "Maybe karm veinim iskabel." He brings a pasuk for that. And finally, he says, "Shayrish huanova." There's much more, but we have this. Just to give the idea, shayrish hanova sheyachshev biyatzmoi, that a person should make a cheshbon ba'oichu shalei v'shoket, when a person, Baruch Hashem, when things are going his way, when things are calm and things are still, should not say, "Oh, I'm such a good businessman, I have such good neighborly relations, it's my chokhmah, it's my doing." Bori v'yoshev in his gezinta, he's an oisher. Asha aboirei baruchu heitiv imoi toiva. A person should always imagine that is the Rabbeinu Shloilam. He should not imagine. He should think of this fact. He should think of this fact that Rabbeinu Shloilam is doing all these toivos for him. The attitude of an El Chayit is that I'm not deserving it. When a person is zoichet to all the toivos that Hashem gives him, this is the shayrish of Midas Hanova. The shayrish of Midas Hanova, that person feels he's undeserving. He's nothing. Kodesh Baruch Hu is so great. Kodesh Baruch Hu is so glorious. The Yachshev Ma'ani. Who am I? Ani Beriyish Feila Meyoid. I'm a lowly creature. And where do I find myself? In this lowly world. Vani Boyle Mashofu Vakola. The Yachshev. Kol Masim Toivim Shukhalasis. All the Masim Toivim that I can do. Einom Kim Tipim and Ayam Negid Masha Nechayv Lasis. Tzadikim always had the attitude, no matter how much they did, it's not a Tipim and Ayam, how much they should be doing. Tzadikim always felt they never Yoitse. As much as they would do, they say, it's nothing, it's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu deserves. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me, even if I do, Elef Shon, no matter what I do, I'm never Yoytze. That should be the attitude. A person should have the attitude, connected to what I'm chayiv to do, I haven't done, I haven't begun. V'yaza kol masav l'chvay tshumayim, v'loy l'hachnum v'lishumod, I mean, don't flatter anybody, v'loy l'shum hanoa, not for personal gain. Do anything and everything l'shem shumayim. Achiyaza hakoy l'shumay agol l'shoy shanova. Just want to show we're concluding Mamish right now, but it's Mamish 3-4 lines left here on the top of the sheet we have here. Actually, number 3 and 4. These are Gevaldige quotes. Two Gevaldige quotes. The first one is from the Maral's brother. The Maral had a brother, which is known Reb Chaim, and he wrote a sefer, it's called Sefer HaChaim. And the Sefer Chaim, you have Ala Teire, you have Sefer Chaim on Pirkei Avos from the brother Maral, and also brought down in the Sefer Choy Mesanot from the Chidor. Look at this Loshen here. Look at this Loshen from the Maral's brother. Mishuhu onov. It's amazing loshen, Rabbi Yisai. It's amazing loshen. Mishuhu onov. Im nigzor shiyumusu bonov me'ezesibe. If chazishon was nigzar. Cholila, cholila, that someone's children. That someone's children should pass away. Mizbateles hagzero v'yichyu bonov biglal anvosoi. Another can break terrible, terrible gzeres. And he says, ve'efshis zehu hasmichis. Eile toldois noyach. In other words, emesai eile toldois. When can one say, these are my children? Means, what is this gula that his children should remain alive? Eile toldois. Says noyach again, a second noyach. Noyach leshemayim v'noyach lebrius. Kishoav noyach lebrius v'yonov. When someone is noyach lebrius, a person taki who does not rise above others, a person who gives himself to others, a person taki who is compatible with others. So has the mid of anivis. Eile told us Noach, if Noach, then Noach is oicha to have told us when if Noach is a Noach l'shemayim, a Noach l'brius, that's one nekuda. And then the gevaldig word from the Kotzker, the koy perish by the Menachem Mendel Mekotzk. We know the mission always tells us one of the nisim where oimdim tzfufim umishtachvim revochim, that even though when the Yidden, the Azorah was so filled with Yidden that when they would stand it would be crowded, oimdim tzfufim, mamish crowded, but when the time came to bow down, and this happened, everybody had a lot of space. All of a sudden became room. Umishtachvim revochim. So again, oimdim tzfufim, mishtachvim revochim. So the Kotzke said a pshat like this. Oimdim. If a person shtait mit dem kop in the hayach, oimdim. If a person is an oimid, tzfufim, he says, then he's always crowded. In other words, a Balgaive doesn't have room for a second person. It's always crowded. You never have enough room. You need all of it. You need all the space for yourself. But mishtachvim, if a person bike them kop, the person's ready to bend, then revochim is alamol duplatz. There's always room. This is the attitude of a yid. Crowded, not crowded. Tolerant. Sablonis. This is anivis. This is what we learned from the time of the Vayre. This we saw from the Ramchal. We see from the Rakhid Tzadikim, of course, all this form talk about. But we saw from the time of the Vayre that this is the all-encompassing midah. And this is rooted in the midah of Keser, which is the most high of all of the Esses Spheres. And we learn from the Sefer Achaim, from the Maral, that the school of anivis can also break terrible, terrible gzeiris. So we should be zeiche, to adapt a little bit more in the Volachta Bedrochov, that the Zoltak will be zeiche, to call the brochas and all the hashpois that the midas provide to us and to our families.